Well, please do turn in your Bible, if you have your Bible with you, to Joshua 24. And over the last number of months, we have been looking at this wonderful book. And so this morning, as we come to the conclusion of looking at the text, next Sunday, God willing, we may have one final look, and maybe do a character study of Joshua, the man. But we come literally to our closing look at the actual text of this sixth book of the Bible. And I suppose what I want to try to do this morning in this message is to look at the closing text and then just to survey and review the overall picture that this book is bringing to us. And this morning, as we think of the story of the book, I want to say something, that this book is in many ways a story of life. It's a story of life, because we're told in the text here at the end of the book in verse 29 that after these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Joshua was a great and a significant man, but he was a man. He was a wonderful man, but he was still a man. There were some extraordinary things that happened in his lifetime, but here is a very ordinary truth. He died. He died. These verses at the end of the book also speak of the fact that Joseph, a previous great man of God, had died. And such was the reverence for Joseph and the desire to plant his bones in another place that they had brought his bones out of Egypt and carried them all that way. And we're told that his bones were buried, verse 32, in Shechem. And we're also told here that Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the brother of Moses, and Aaron's son Eleazar, who was also a great man. We may not know an awful lot about him. We may not talk much about Eleazar. He may not be a household name, but he was a good man. But he also died. You know, the truth of the matter is, folks, and you don't need me to stand here this morning and tell you this, people come and people go. Leaders come and leaders go. And we could think of the world in which we live and the leaders that capture the headlines, whether it's Putin or Trump, or Theresa May, or Nicola Sturgeon, or some of our local leaders and all the rest of it, that look, the truth of the matter is that they all are here for a season and then they're gone. They come and they go. Like each and every one of you, and the preacher included. Oh, says you, preacher, don't be so morbid. Well, I'm not actually trying to be morbid or to be morose. That is not my nature. But I am actually just drawing something out from this text that is realistic. I do subscribe to the dictum, life is for the living. But I also believe what the scriptures say to us, for example, in Psalm 90, where the psalmist says, teach us to number our days aright and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. I also hear the words of Isaiah 38, Many a sermon has been preached on that text at the beginning of Isaiah 38. Put your house in order, for you are going to die. And so all I'm saying is at this point that at the very end of this book, we have a very ordinary but salutary story of life that all of us come and go. And for many of us here today, your forefathers literally sat in the pews where you sit, and they have been here and they have gone. And if the Lord tarries, the same will be said for every single one of us here today, that we will be here for a season and then we will be gone. And as a preacher, I say to you, even though the world does not really want to think about these things, and the world would consider my message so far to be somewhat depressing, it is actually realistic. I say to you this morning, put your house in order, for you are going to die. Put your house in order. It is time to seek the Lord. And the truth of the matter is that in a congregation of this size here this morning, there are those sitting here and there are maybe those listening or watching from a distance through the web. And the truth of the matter is that your house is not in order and you are not yet ready to die. And you say, oh, preacher, how can I be ready to die? Well, you know how you need to prepare to be ready today. This is what the gospel is all about. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You repent and you believe the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call upon the name of the Lord to save you. You call upon the name of the Lord to help you to have your house put in order. You throw yourself on Jesus for your eternity. And you cry like that one of old, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the amazing truth of the gospel is that if you do that in sincerity and in truth, that you are putting your house in order. And you are preparing to meet your God. So we have here, and the preacher could go on that much longer than he has time for, but we have a story of life. We come and we go. Put your house in order, for you are going to die. But we have here also, and I suppose at this point I just want to, and I really don't have sufficient time to do this, but what I want to do is just remind you of something. And I'm going to put those three up, because in those six words or whatever, in those subheadings, you have the story of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a story of people entering in, chapters 1 to 4. The book of Joshua is a story of people battling on, chapters 5 through to 12. And the book of Joshua is a story of people pressing on, chapters 13 through to 21. Remember a few weeks ago, we focused on that, those lovely words caught in the AV of chapter 13 and verse 1, there remains very much land to be possessed. So folks, I want you to think about that, and I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to just really impress upon your heart that this story of Joshua, it is a story of the people of God, not just in Joshua's day, but in every day, in every single generation. It is a story of the gospel. And remember, we have been learning that. We don't think of the gospel story just starting in Matthew. The gospel is shot through the whole of the Bible, and we have the gospel in the book of Joshua. We are called in the gospel to enter into what God has for us in Jesus Christ. Just as I am, we sometimes sing without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Preacher, how do I prepare my house to be in order? You come to Jesus. You run to Jesus. You enter into all that he has for you and all that he has accomplished for you through repentance and faith in his finished work. That is you entering in. And then having entered in, you prepare to fight. Because up until that point, the devil didn't really take too much notice of you. But once you enter in, he has his sights on you, and he will do his best, along with his allies, to pull you down. The unholy trinity we sometimes speak about. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And maybe some of you this past week, for all I know, have been up against that unholy trinity. And maybe for all I know, you've been through a difficult week. Unbeknownst to anyone else in this meeting house, you have been struggling. You have been battling. The battle has been difficult. But folks, there is victory. There is a victory in Jesus. As we look to him and we cry unto him. And remember that text we were thinking about recently in Revelation? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Folks, it is the ordinary way in the Christian experience, having entered into Jesus and salvation through Jesus Christ, that we are called to battle. We are called to press on. We never arrive. That's always the danger of being saved and stuck. Are you saved and stuck this morning? It's highly likely that there are some people here this morning, and that's a fair depiction of where you're at. You're saved by the grace of God, yes, but you're actually stuck. You're stuck in a rut. And you are called to press on. The Apostle Paul, Philippians 3, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Folks, in a moment or two, we are going to sing very deliberately that lovely hymn. And I must say, I've grown to love this hymn. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that's a lovely prayer to pray. In fact, the writer probably knew the reality of life. The second verse always strikes me. I wonder, let me read the second verse to you. Is this where you're at this morning, folks? My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Folks, to put it very simply, are you a professing believer this morning? Have you a desire in your heart to go on with the Lord, onward and upward, deeper, deeper in? I know that it is so possible to be a Christian and yet to be stuck in a bad place, a difficult place. And you know what? It may sound strange to say this, but because the preacher knows these things, because the preacher usually has experienced these things, it actually can be a slightly miserable place to be. You see, God calls us to go deeper. He calls us to press on. And when we don't do that, some of the children were not willing to admit that they'd ever disobeyed, bless them. They will come to learn that they have disobeyed. But you know, whenever we disobey the call of the gospel to go deeper, it's not a happy place. And it's only when we obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I was going to say, why does time go so quick when you're preaching? You're maybe thinking it's going slow, but I'm sure that's not the case. There's another story here, and this is what I was trying to get across to the children. A story of God's faithfulness. And you know, that's one of the big, big stories of the book of Joshua. If you've got your Bible open, just glance back to chapter 21, because there's a lovely little summary here of this point. Joshua 21, just at the end, it says this, verse 43, "The Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers." So there's the faithfulness of God. "They took possession of it, they settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers," God's faithfulness. "Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them," God's faithfulness. "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." It's a testimony to the faithfulness of God. God had told Abram generations before this, "Abram, this is where I'm going to lead you and your people and your generations to come after you." And God was faithful. And that's why we asked the singers to lead us with that new song that we're learning. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful to me. And you say to me, "Well, preacher, what about whenever things don't quite go the way I planned them to go? And whenever I'm left struggling, Lord, why did that happen? Where is your faithfulness there?" But God is still faithful. Even though we cannot always see clearly, even though we see as through a dim veil, we're not the ones who are seeing clearly. We cannot see the big picture. But one day, folks, one day, and especially if you're here this morning and you're struggling to see that, you and I cannot see the big picture at the moment. But there is a day coming when you will see that big picture. And you will also stand around the throne and you will join in the song of the Lamb of the faithfulness of God. And you may say to me, "Well, preacher, it's not easy." No, I didn't ever say it was easy. It's not easy. And sometimes we dare to believe these things through the tears that are running down our cheeks. But God is faithful. God is faithful. If we do not believe that, then I suggest we don't even sing the last time. We just go home and pack our bags and do something different. God is faithful. God is good. And the way in which I want to round this up is that all of this is seen in Christ. All of this is seen in Christ. That the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And all the promises that we see in Joshua are yea and amen in Christ. You know, when you try to find Jesus in the book of Joshua, it is not hard at all. It is one of the easiest books in the Old Testament to find Jesus in. Why is that? Because Joshua is another name for Jesus. Joshua and Jesus mean the same thing. Did you know that? I'm sure some of you did. They mean Jehovah is my salvation. And Jesus was called Jesus, could have been Joshua, because he would save his people from their sins. Jesus is your Joshua. Do you see that? So, as you see this book, Joshua leading the people in, Joshua standing alongside them as they battle, standing alongside them to say, "Look, go deeper in." It's Jesus who's standing alongside you and me saying, "Come, I will lead you into my inheritance. I will be with you when you're fighting the battle against the world and the flesh and the devil. I will be with you. Look to me. Cry unto me for help. And I am the one who encourages you to press on the upward way and new heights to gain every day. It's Jesus who is pushing us in that direction. Do you see that? You see, Joshua typifies Jesus. And Jesus is the one who leads his people. So this morning, folks, do you see this book? It's a story of life. People come and people go. And you and I come for a season and then we go. And we need to prepare our house because we're going to die. We need to prepare to meet our God. And the way we do that is to take the story of Joshua and how, as it speaks to us of Jesus, to come to Jesus, to run to Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to throw ourselves upon Jesus, and we enter in, and we battle on, and we press on, and then just like these people, we enter in to that eternal rest. Because God is faithful, and the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Let us pray. Father, teach us these things from this wonderful book of Joshua, and may we follow our Joshua, may we follow our Jesus, and enter into all that he has for us. We ask it in his name. Amen.